Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Matt Tompkin of Tao Digital Marketing, and today we're discussing growing an agency in a sustainable way. Matt is the founder and director of Tao Digital Marketing, a search marketing agency which helps clients to generate more business by having the best online presence possible. Matt is a serial entrepreneur who has owned several businesses over the past 17 years, ranging from custom sportswear businesses through to telecoms and personal training. Thanks so much for joining us today, Matt.
Not a problem. It's good to be here.
Great. So let's delve into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
Bolton, UK. So looking out the window, it's chilly and raining. So normal weather in Bolton, UK, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's chilly and snowing here. So pretty typical weather for Canada too.
Oh, lovely. Well, I wish we had snow rather than this rain. But...
yeah, you say that. So what really motivates you or really gets you out of bed in the morning?
A passion to grow, to be honest. Awesome. I think everything that I've done with different businesses and personal life and stuff is all about growing to the maximum, I guess. I was described a few years ago by a business partner in the old telecoms company as an extremist personality. I want to do everything to the extreme. So I guess that's what motivates me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like having that trait is like, it's so essential as an entrepreneur, and especially if you want to grow like a super successful business. So I love that. And then, so how did you get into digital marketing to start?
Well, I love technology. So obviously back in the day when I first started working life, the internet was relatively new from an electronic commerce point of view. Certainly Google AdWords and things like that was new when I set up the telecoms company. But I was always into new technology, phone systems, VoIP systems back then. I mean, they're the only thing that people use now, hosted phone systems. But back then we were sort of, I think we were the first in Europe to put a phone system on the Amazon Elastic Cloud, which I think is ace. Most people find really boring, but and then so from there, obviously technology led me down a path to starting our company website. And then maybe 4 or 5 years into having the telecoms company, I met a chap called David Ingram, who runs a highly successful e-commerce search marketing agency it was in Bolton. They just moved to Manchester. And I just love geeking out with him, to be fair. And from there, it, sort of the passion grew, and I just digested content and digested as much information around it as I could to try and help the businesses that I had then. And just loved it. So yeah,
that's awesome.
That's how I got into digital marketing. I mean, SEO specifically, we're more predominantly a search marketing agency than anything else. And so yeah, SEO, I just love it. It's constantly changing. I mean, it frustrates the life at times when Google changes the rules. The big rule is simple, isn't it? It's be the best on the internet and you'll always win, or you should always win. That's how I got into it.
Interesting. Yeah. So tell us more about Tao Digital.
Yeah. So Tao Digital is just over, we're 4.5 years old now. Started in 2017 by myself. I'd had a sportswear brand or a sportswear business for a few years, and that had changed hands. due to us running out of cash, to be honest. So I ended up having to liquidate that business. But at the time, I'd learned so much about SEO, and a good friend of mine had a business in Bolton who was doing really well for himself. And I remember I was sitting in the pub one day and having a pint, and he just said, "You're miserable, aren't you?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, to be honest," because I was working for someone else at the time. You know, you've spoke to enough entrepreneurs to know that is just not something that we like. The people that we work for don't like us because we're always questioning, we're always arguing with them, saying you're wrong, or, you know, we need to do it this way. And he said, "Right, well, you know, we'll go 50-50. We'll set you up as an agency, and for the first 6 months, you don't need to worry about money. I'll put the money in and stuff like that." Anyway, as it was, after a month, we were paying the bills quite easily, making enough profit. And then, luckily enough for me, about a year and a half after that, managed to buy him out. He was kind enough to sort of sell that back, if you will. For
amazing.
Sort of services and things. So that's how Tow Digital came about. I was already doing bits of subcontracting work on the side for him and a couple of other people I know in business. I have a good network of business owners and business people in and around Bolton and Manchester and things, just from years of getting out there trying to sell telecom systems, I guess.
Right. Okay. Interesting. And then, so how do you guys differentiate yourselves from other agencies?
I think we live our values.
Interesting.
You know, we want to be honest. We want to grow. And we, you know, we're really, really focused on that.
Yeah.
When we were talking about values, we were toying with all these different things. We wanted to put some fancy ones in there because obviously honesty and growth focused, they're what everyone says. But I also think it's so important to actually prove that you live by those. And I think we do, you know, from the moment we start speaking to someone about an SEO project or even just a sort of digital journey project, because help people, point them in the right direction with paid search and the websites and stuff. I think people just get that from us. Every single member of the team wants to help people grow, and also we want the people in the team to grow as well.
That's so cool.
We just live those values, I guess.
Awesome. Nice. I love that. So let's delve into our topic now. So we're going to be talking about growing an agency in a sustainable way. So what makes you so passionate about growing your agency in a sustainable way?
So obviously I've had a couple of businesses, and over the years I've seen businesses grow and fail. And I think sustainability is obviously a subjective in people's eyes. But for me, it's all about making sure that it's built in the right way. It's not built too fast. If it grows too fast, you know, generally you can sort of start bursting the seams. Clients get a bit annoyed and can get worried that they're spending money and not getting the results. If it grows too slowly, well, there's no point, is there? You know, like before, I'm an extremist personality and I want to grow and I want to grow fast. But getting that balance right is so important. You know, I've had three businesses now over the years, one telecoms, one sportswear, and then now one search marketing agency.
Success,
one failure, and the other one's going all right so far. So I've definitely learned the lessons on how to build a sustainable business and how to build an unsustainable business through both good successes and one awful failure that I'm still trying to get rid of.
Well, it's like those things, like they can be perceived as terrible failures, but they're like the best learning lessons. So, you know, you make sure you don't make that mistake twice, and it's unfortunate you have to deal with it. It's unpleasant, but when you take the positive out of it and learn from it, you know, you never make that mistake twice.
Yeah, I think there's so many positives to take from that failed business. There really are. Life lessons. I mean, you know, one life lesson I learned, you know, I was what, 26 years old, and I was driving around in a ridiculous car. I had a really nice apartment down in the local apartment block and stuff. And you know, I thought I was God's gift to business at the time. I really do. When I look back at it now, I cringe on some of the things that I did. But then, you know, you go into a new business. I'd fallen out with my business partner in the telecoms company and ended up selling him my shares relatively cheaply, thinking I was great at this sportswear thing and I was going to fly with it. And yeah, it was so hard to get off the ground, and it was a product-based business. There was cash going in up front. You know, some months we'd do ridiculous figures. Another month we'd do like, so one month we did something like 45 grand and the next month we did 600 quid. Wow. And it was just unsustainable. It really was. And I think, you know, I'd gone and I'd done an investment course. Now we don't take any investment on, but one of the things there was talking about overselling or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I just ignored him. I was like, if we're overselling, a bank or someone will come in and provide us with some cash, but they didn't. So we lost that business. But the lessons, and there's a great website called failery.com, where literally they started out just having stories about failed businesses and people telling the story about what they did and the lessons that they learned and stuff. Great resource. They've expanded successes and stuff now, but I did quite a lengthy article on the failure of that business on there, and it was really, really nice to see that the lessons have been learned, and we're now in a position where Tau is, you know, unbelievably sustainable. We've got a great team in the office. We've got a lovely office. We've got, you know, really nice atmosphere. We just won our first award, Digital Agency of the Year, with MPA awards. So things are going really well, and we're also sat on a ridiculous amount of cash, because we're probably sat on too much cash really as an agency, but life lesson has taught me that something might just crop up at some point. So yeah, it's not a bad thing having too much cash in the bank, in my opinion.
Yeah, you want that security.
Yeah. So and I, over the years, I've seen a number of agencies, like we're talking about agencies. You know, there was one agency a few years ago who were everywhere. They grew and they grew, and they were all over the place, social media marketing type stuff. And they were stood on top of building roofs in Manchester, like popping champagne and all this sort of stuff. And I remember speaking to a couple of agency owners at the time and going, like, wow, these guys, this is amazing. Like, they're doing really well. They were winning awards and things. And 12 months later, they went into liquidation. They'd not paid the VAT bill. They'd not paid anything. Like, and there was this interview with this chap, and it was talking about how he didn't even know that you have to pay VAT, or like he wasn't aware of the company, like corporation tax rates and things. I'm like, this is just the basics of business. And I think it does worry me in the agency world that there's people out there who don't quite understand the basics.
Yeah.
And they're so important. Like, you've got a skill and you want to sell that skill, rightly so. But the basics are the things that you need to get right, you know, of just being in business, being incorporated, I guess.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, having an unsustainable business model can be so catastrophic, and that can be, it could be short term, but it can also be, you know, the end of that agency life. And a lot of people fail and they don't try again. And I think that's quite sad. Something, you know, failure is a lesson. We fail in a lot of things in life, and we need to take those and use them, not to do it again, but to also think about it a bit more logically as we move forward. So
yeah, every successful person out there has failed numerous times, and usually big failures too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm still paying the debt off from my failure, so I class it as a big failure, but you know, the life lessons are it's probably cheap in terms of a life lesson, to be fair.
Yeah. Well, okay. So what are some of the steps you've put in place to achieve growing your agency in a sustainable way?
Yeah, I guess it's a tough one really, because it all comes from that experience and you sort of just do it. I'm reading a book at the moment and they're describing a business plan. So have your business be like water rather than have a structured plan, because you know, water gets everywhere, but it finds the path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. And that really intrigued me when I was reading that. But I mean, we've grown rapidly over the last 2 years, and we have needed to really make sure we've got the right bums on the right seats. Mm-hmm. And we've not always managed it, but you know, I can definitely say that the team, as it stands, are fantastic. And I do think that we're now ready for that next level of growth again. And one of the key things is making sure that we've got the foundations right. Like I often describe business as a ladder, the business ladder. You get to one step, or you take one step up, and then you're like, oh Christ, how do I get to the next one? And it's a new level of learning. It's a whole new, you know, pile of issues and things that you've got to discover. And and so getting to that next step is always quite tough. So get the foundations right on that step, then move to the next one. Mm-hmm. We've looked to bring in young people through the business, so coming in and learning the way that we want to do it rather than what other people may have done. And that's brought us a really nice balance within the team, I think. So you've got people who are hungry, as well as people who understand what they're doing and they've done it for a while. And I also think, like, agencies tend to not have their own marketing managers in place or their own operations managers in place. And we've done that at a very small size. Mm-hmm. To just make sure that we've got all those pieces of the puzzle in place and it's not all falling on my shoulders or another member of the team's shoulders. So we've grown from like 3 people to 10 in the last 2 years. And wow. What that has meant. So huge growth. Yeah. But what it's meant is that we need other people with different skill sets in the business, because it can't all rest on my shoulders. It can't all rest on on other people's shoulders. We go around that. So we brought in, you know, an operations manager there to help shore things up and to look after process, look after some HR and stuff. And then we've also got the marketing person in place, and that is helping us now decide on what our marketing plan is for the next year, where an agency our size wouldn't normally have those roles. I'm taking a bit of a gamble there on placing those people in, because obviously they're not billable. But at the same time, I think they're so important for the next step and the next rung on the ladder, if you will.
Yeah, that way, you know, you're not becoming a bottleneck to the growth as well. They're helping take things, the weight off of your shoulders. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, one perfect example there is I am an out and out entrepreneur. I want to go out and I want to sell things. I want to build things. I want to change things. I want to change the world. And that needs process, and that bores the life out of me. I'm not very good at it. And
it's so critical.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, otherwise things fall apart. And if I look back to the failure that I had with the business, it was because we didn't put the process in place. The success with the telecom company was all about, I mean, we had folders of different departments, like sales, operations, accounts, and everything had a process.
Yeah.
Whereas the sportswear didn't, and it fell apart. And so, hence the operations manager, you know, if you find the right person, they come in and they do all the stuff that you don't want to do. You know, I think there's a book that talks about, you know, I've forgotten the actual term that they use for the entrepreneur, but then you've got the integrator, and the integrator is the person that's like, gets everything done. We're now, I think, in the position where we've got me who's just going out there and doing sort of loads of random things and trying to push things in different directions and selling stuff. And then we've got the operations manager who's coming in and sorting the processes out and moving things forward as we need them.
Yeah, that's so important. So can you talk about the processes, some of the really important processes that you guys have put in place in your agency?
Yeah, I mean, we're still early days in that at the moment. So the processes that we have got in place are more around client onboarding, client offboarding, the invoicing, the account side of things, HR processes and policies. So I'd say we've got like the business basics, like I was referring to before. We've got those sorted now from a process perspective. The next stage for me is now how we get the individual elements of delivery process driven. We've all got the process in our heads. We know exactly what we're doing. You know, so from a technical SEO point of view, we do an audit. We know this needs sort of like looking at, this needs looking at. We don't mm-hmm. have necessarily that process documented at the moment. Or we do, but not as in-depth as I want. Content right. creation is exactly the same. You know, we all know what we're doing and we've got a rough idea of how that process works in our project management tool, but it's not had much time spent on it. So there's lots of processes that we want to sort out, but we've got the basics right.
Gotcha. So what have been some challenges that you've run into along the way that have been good learning experiences while running your agency?
So I think one of them is communication.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So
like with your clients?
Yeah. Well, and everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone really. I mean, clients initially spring to mind. But I can't stress how important that is mm-hmm. like for everyone in the team. You know, we've internally been in situations where we brought a client in, or I've brought a client in, and I've sold a certain type of service to that client, and then something else gets delivered in the first month or two before I get my eyes on it and my hands on it, and I'm like, why? How's this happened? And it was like the slightest miscommunication. And then you're backtracking and having to sort stuff out and having to put more resource in to fix it and make sure that the client's happy. But more importantly,
you mean like the sales team wasn't in proper communication with the team member who was executing it, and then they delivered a final product that was just not what the client was originally expecting?
Yeah, I think we're an SEO agency predominantly. So I think you can get carried away with SEO. There's so many areas that you can go into, and you know, if you've got a client doing, footwear, and you know, there's 300 brands on that website. Well, you know, you can just get carried away doing all sorts of stuff with all those different brands. And I think it's so important to really focus in on a product that is profitable for the client, mm-hmm. but a product that's also achievable in a short space of time, so that, you know, SEO is a long-term strategy. It's a long-term investment, but there are quicker wins than others. And when you're having that conversation in the sales meeting and you're talking to the prospect about, you know, what you can do and how you can do it and stuff, generally speaking, you'll talk about the areas that are most profitable to them and the ones that we think, or I think, that we can win quickly.
Yeah.
And that gets passed over to the delivery team. But if there's not enough communication there, or everything's not communicated properly, they might find a different product or something else that's easier to win on SEO, but not necessarily as profitable. And so they'll start work on that product. They'll get loads of rankings. And for a shoe company, it might be, yeah, we got loads of rankings for flip-flops. Well, that's great, but the client makes 20p on a flip-flop. And then it might cost them because they've got to do a return. Whereas these boots over here, which are steel toe cap boots and has a search volume of 200 a month rather than 10,000, selling one pair of them would get, you know, 100 times the profit or whatever than the flip-flops. Mm-hmm. So that's what the client's expecting us to work on. But you've worked on this, and I understand fully why. But that's then not, you know, it's not been communicated right by the sales to the delivery team. So that is one massive challenge that I got early on in Taos life.
It's a big one.
Yeah, it's ginormous, because then, of course, then that affects the communication with the client. So you're having a chat with the client then, and you're saying, well, yeah, we're doing this, we're doing that. Oh, well, why are you doing that? This is what we wanted to concentrate on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, luckily we got that challenge under control very quickly, and it hasn't really happened since, because we've made sure that the internal communication is just sort of on steroids.
Yeah.
my the people to death. but yeah, from a client perspective, what I have realized is, I mean, I sort of knew this before we started Toe, and naively got out of the habit of it, but clients want to know what's happening. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily want to understand how you're doing stuff, but they want to know the stuff that you're doing. And of course, when it's performance marketing, you sort of go, well, if they're getting the results, or we get them the results, then it'll be fine, won't it? They'll see it in, you know, banknotes and pound coins and stuff.
Yeah.
but they don't. And we recently sat with a client who'd sort of gone off the radar with COVID and stuff for a while. I mean, we carried on working with them, carried on smashing it for them, but they went into a bit of a their own shell, really, and we couldn't get in to speak to them. Mm-hmm. And we were driving hundreds and hundreds of leads. And we had this, we've got this intermediary marketing consultant there. And we finally got to sit down with them. And we're like, yeah, well, that one piece of content there has driven, 250 leads in the last month. Oh, really? Oh, well, why have we not known about this? Well, the software's there, the reports are there and stuff like that. And, it was so important to get in front of these people that actually, rather than just continuing to do the work, we should have just spent our entire resource that month trying to just get in front of them or knock on their own door or, And they start doubting what they're working with or paying you for. And so that client communication is probably the most critical part. And I think that again is a massive challenge. That's a constant challenge is finding the right balance of communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that combined with crystal clear reporting it's so important. And then, they're not, getting confused, things aren't getting lost in translation. It's it's really important.
I mean, I chuckled then because you mentioned crystal clear reporting. There's probably another challenge, right? What's crystal clear to one client is certainly not crystal clear to another. And there lies in another challenge, right? What do you want us to report on? How can we help you? How can we give you the right information so that you understand it? Like, there's no point of sending you loads of graphs and loads of information if actually you haven't got a clue what it is. We try to work with most of our clients doing video reporting. So we'll actually show things on screen using Loom.
That's so cool. I haven't heard of anyone doing video reporting. That's really interesting.
Oh, I should have kept that quiet, shouldn't I? we use these video reports and we can run through all Google Search Console dashboards. We can run through all the leads. We install What Converts, which is like a attribution platform, which tells you where all the leads have come from, which click point, source, referral, all that stuff. So we can give people an actual understanding of what they're paying for and what they're getting back.
And Loom's good because it tells you when someone's watched your video too. So you know that the client's watched it.
Well, that can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing. When you're sitting there going, right, I've done, this is the sixth video that the client's not bothered to bloody watch. But then the seventh time that you don't send them a report that month, they'll be on your back.
Yeah.
But you don't watch it. Why am I spending your money with me doing some like an hour's worth of research and stuff when you're not actually watching it?
Yeah.
Loom is a fantastic tool. I've had a bit of a battle with them recently because their billing platform is a mess, but the tool is fantastic.
Yeah, it's super handy. I know I use it all the time. Vidyard's another good one too.
Yeah, and I've used Soapbox by Wistia in the past.
That
worked really well. It's very similar. Probably a little bit more slick when I used it, the Soapbox thing.
Yeah.
I just think it's so important. You can get a message across in 5-10 minutes that might take you hours of writing a bloody report. And let's be honest, no one reads reports. You've got a better chance of them watching a video than reading a report, haven't you?
Yeah, 100%. I love that you're doing that. So where do you see Tao Digital Marketing in 5 years' time?
Very interesting question. Do you know what? I think I'm constantly torn between being an out-and-out SEO specialist and one channel specialist. I'm really going to town on it. We are experts in SEO.
Mm-hmm.
Moving into a couple of other channels where we can also provide value. So, content marketing, we do so much in terms of search content.
Mm-hmm.
And we gain value from that. But of course, it takes 6 months for a new piece of content to get to where it should do on Google, if not 12 months.
Yeah.
So there's ideas around that. But I think, for me, in 5 years' time, it's just, we maybe doubled in size, tripled in size. I did have plans, and I do have plans, but they constantly change. They do constantly. Yeah. I guess at the moment it's, right, let's go all out on SEO, become the experts. We can, you know, grow internationally. I've got this thing in the back of my head that I want a US office as well.
Very cool.
Bolton to the US.
Yes.
Journey, but who knows whether that'll happen or not. I think for me, what's more important is that members of the team keep progressing in terms of their career. We, you know, there's nothing prouder to me than, you know, some of our team have recently bought houses, they're buying new cars, they're having babies, buying dogs and claiming to be parents or whatever the term is that she uses. but just growing in life and understanding how to actually be a better human, I guess. And
yeah,
if we can help also with, you know, anything we can do for climate change and any sort of renewable energy businesses that we work for and stuff, that'll be exciting for 5 years.
That's so
cool. Not a very concise answer there. Do apologize, but
well, you've got you. I know you're thinking about it. You got lots of different angles that you're working towards.
Yeah, there's lots of things we can do. I think if everyone's happy within the team and we've continued to grow and our clients are happy, then that'll be me happy in 5 years' time.
Awesome. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Well, that's an easy one. Traction by Gino Wickman.
It's a good one.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Way that he sort of breaks down how to run a business and stuff is just ideal for me, you know.
Yeah.
It comes back to the integrator before, actually. That was, so I mentioned it earlier.
Yeah. Traction's a great book. I love the EOS process.
Yeah. I've toyed with actually bringing an EOS consultant in, but we'll see. They're not cheap, are they? So.
Yeah. They make it pretty simple in the book to really do it all yourself. So.
Yes. And that's what I love about the book, to be fair.
I've
got our operations manager. I bought her a copy a couple of weeks ago. So we're gradually moving through that process. I think the other sort of system or whatever you want to call it is OKRs. And that's a good book by John Doerr. I forgot the name of it. That's another good book.
Okay.
Haven't read that one. Yeah,
I
can't remember. John Doerr, he helped Google and people like that implement OKRs. So they're much, there's a lot of similarities in the methods and stuff like that, but just find a happy place in between and crack on.
Yeah, exactly. What does your morning routine look like?
So I've got three pretty young kids. so two boys and a little girl, 8, 5, and then Ruby is 10 months old. And if I'm honest, it's pretty hectic in the morning. It all depends on Ruby, on what and how the day starts. So if she wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning, well, the day starts at 5 o'clock. If she wakes up at 7, then we're all rushing around to try and sort stuff out. It's our alarm clock, really.
Yeah.
So yeah, the first thing is either me or my wife gets a shower, and the other one makes a bottle of milk. and gives her that. After that, I try to get to the office around 8 o'clock on the days that I don't have a personal training session. So 2 days out of five, I'll have a personal training session at 7:30. And I just feel so much better when I've done some exercise in the morning.
Yes.
I think when Ruby's a little bit older, maybe sort of mid next year and stuff like that, on the other days, I'll get out and go for a run and things like that, which I used to do before we had Ruby in the morning. So yeah. It's not a set morning routine at the moment.
I can relate. I have a 6-year-old and it's the same thing. I only have one and mornings are chaotic. So I can sympathize you there with having three.
Yeah. It's a bit like, what's the Hotel Transylvania. Have you seen the film? You know, when the wolf has got like 10 little wolves, like just screwing around and eating things, and then suddenly something disappears and you've not seen it.
Yeah.
That's house in the morning.
it's so funny. All right, is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I wouldn't say follow or study. I think there's quite a few out there who I sort of admire. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what Elon Musk has achieved in his what is still a relatively short lifespan, isn't it? What he's achieved. is amazing. But I think I've always read, I've always loved reading books around Richard Branson. I think the way that he runs his businesses and the ethos that he has around how he brings people into those businesses and stuff. Certainly up till very recently, I mean, there's in the UK, we've got Virgin Media and the customer service is just atrocious. However, most telecoms companies in the UK are rubbish at customer service. So give him his dues on that one. But I think how he does it, you know, trying to find better people than himself to bring into the team, you know, I think that is so important. And where possible, I will try and do that. You know, we've got a couple of members of the team. In fact, pretty much everyone in the team now is better than me at what they do. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think it is so important, and not having that ego to, you know, think that you are able to do it the best. So yeah.
Well, I used to have that, and then I lost a business.
Yeah, so it's quite lesson. Common amongst entrepreneurs. So yeah, it's definitely a good lesson.
Yeah.
What is your favorite online tool?
Ahrefs.
And then
obviously SEO tool. It's very addictive and provides us with so much information.
Yeah, it's a great tool. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
So I think that success can be a quick win, but so can failure. And I think the failure is the important part there. You know, you can succeed and things can grow very, very quickly, especially with some of the tools that we've got, you know, online marketing and things like that now. But failure can be even faster. Mm-hmm. So I think I wish I'd have known that. You know, I think it's really important to understand how privileged the existing situation is. And then, you know, I know firsthand how quickly that can slip away.
Yeah, great advice. So, yeah,
I wish I'd known that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Matt. It's been really great chatting with you.
No problem, you too. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.